So last week I was in Fellowship Hall, and I'd love to go up and talk to parents of younger kids right now at this time of year and find out what the kids are asking for Christmas. It may be that my old daughters are grown up and vicariously I want to live through them now and remember those days. It may be I don't get a chance to find out what the hottest games and the gadgets are. But one mom pulled out her children's letters to Santa, and I might even see those children here in a front row over here. So, if you wouldn't mind, can I share your letters from Santa? Okay. So, this is Kylie's letter. And it says, "Dear Santa, I've been good, but the elf has been wild a lot." I'm guessing you mean the elf on the shelf, perhaps. "I want my elf to stay here all the time." And then she goes on to talk about some other things, some Shopkins, Legos, and Santa stuffed animals. And she wants Rudolph to visit her and her sister, which is a great thing. If you can pull it off, let me know. And then we really get down to the crux of the matter, down toward the bottom. It's always that way with letters to Santa. "I want a phone. Also, Mom will let me." So it's been vetted, apparently. Now, her sister, older sister, her letter takes a similar form. Maybe they were working on these together, I don't know. But this is from Megan, who's 10. It said, "Merry Christmas. This year I'd like a few things." And then goes on to list some of the things. There's a game that she plays after school. And there's a really cool Lego set where you get to build a Porsche 911. And she suggests that maybe her dad would like the real thing. And there are books, and you see some book titles listed. But again, we get to the crux of the matter down. Finally, on the top of my list, number one is a hoverboard. It would have to be the safest one, though, because my mom is a little worried. Now, just to prove that she is a safety-conscious child, the next line reads, "Stay safe out there, and Merry Christmas." So I don't know what Santa's going to bring you, but those are wonderful letters. Now, I have to tell you, I was enthralled to, I just loved talking about those letters with a proud mom, and there is something that draws us all in to the wonder of this season when we get to see it through our children's eyes, because they've not stopped being amazed. They've not stopped being amazed. Let's pray. Oh, gracious God, even though this is a story we've heard over and over, it's a story we know so well. Help us this night to be amazed, to just be amazed again. For Christ comes to change everything. Amen. If you've been with us during the month of December and all through Advent, it's been a great time. We've had all kinds of special events to mark the season together, everything from Christmas teas that are intergenerational events and friends get to come wearing matching sweaters and things like that. We had an event back early in December, our carols, cookies, and crafts. The families got together to make Christmas ornaments and decorations, and again, lots of joy in that space. We had a special Chalk Talk, Oh Christmas Tree, our all adults loving life group that welcomed in an artist to lead that. And then last Sunday, how many of you here for Music Sunday last Sunday? Well, you got a taste of it tonight through the music. All of our bands, our choirs, our children, our adults just led us into a joyful celebration of the season. And it was just a great, great day. If you walk out of church tonight, you'll see some boards, and we've been collecting Christmas cards this year. It's a new project of sorts, so we can greet one another and bless one another with our Christmas greetings. And one of my favorites, I'm going to give you an up-close version of this. This is Pinterest-worthy and from the Sexton family. They're lying on the pavement there, but it looks like they're going down a sled. Just a wonderful thing. Being amazed for Christmas. It's right there from the very beginning of the story, isn't it? I'm always amazed by this story. No matter how many times I preach it, no matter how many times I read it, no matter how many times I've heard it, I'm amazed. I'm amazed that even though there was an emperor in charge, Caesar Augustus, and even though there's a governor whose name, the real action is not happening in the capital. The real action is in a backwoods place called Bethlehem, where God is doing amazing work with a young, scared couple about to have a child. And the news doesn't come to the government authorities, and Carissa, I hate to say, doesn't even come to the religious types like us. It comes to shepherds who are out watching their flocks by night. The nobodies, the afterthoughts on the night shift. And yet God is doing amazing things, and it is right there in that story. When the shepherds run to Bethlehem, just as they've been instructed to by this heavenly choir, they get there and they tell about this moment, this revelation that they've had, and they see Mary and Joseph and the baby, and when they tell this story, everyone's amazed. Everyone's amazed. And probably Mary most of all, who's been trying to figure out what this is since the first chapter of Luke, when this angel had come to her, this grand, out-of-the-ordinary promise about what her son would become and what her son would do for the world. And so Mary just ponders all these things in her heart. She's just amazed. Now, we've gotten through an amazing journey to get here. We have been working our way to this point tonight. I felt like I got a review of our whole Advent journey the other night in my own home. Thursday night, my daughters came into town. My older daughter and her husband, Ross, are up from Florida, and they joined us with their wonderful dog, Milo, who is rather active. And just a couple hours later, my daughter, Sarah, and her boyfriend came in the door, and they had another dog, another large dog, and the two dogs got to meet each other for the first time. And we live in a rather narrow house, sort of front to back, and so the dogs had sort of turned the place into this track where they're running back and forth and knocking ornaments toward the tree, and we're looking at each other, and we realize I saw all of the Advent themes come before my very eyes. That, you know, that first week when we talked about being still, it had been still. And then we remembered that we would just be patient. Well, it was gonna maybe take a little patience this week. And just be open to the chaos that was around us. And last week's theme was just be together, and I was sitting there beaming with a smile, because there's nothing better than welcoming home your family this time of year, and you know what that feels like. So many of you are here with sons and daughters who have come from distance, or brothers and sisters, or aunts and uncles, to just be together. And now we are all together to just be amazed, to just be amazed. This picture was taken almost 50 years ago, on an Apollo mission that was to orbit the moon. It was the first time that we had ever seen the Earth like this. And when the astronauts snapped the shot, all they could say was, wow. They saw it, and then they saw it again out of another window, and they literally threw a color camera that sort of floated across gravity-free, and they took this picture. And they said, we've never seen the world like this. Never seen. Do you remember seeing that picture, some of you? How it changed our view of ourselves. This was our planet, our fragile planet out there in the whole solar system. This beautiful blue space. I think the Christmas story changes the way that we see the world too. This world that God loves so much. This world that God has never given up on. This world that God has created from the beginning and God has been about restoring from day one. This God who never gives up on us. And that kind of God and that kind of story and that kind of view of the world makes me just want to be amazed. Ian Knowles is an artist who has sort of taken on a new project at this stage of his life. And he's in his mid-50s. He's been an accomplished artist in Great Britain for a number of years. And he's gone to Bethlehem to teach people, Palestinians, how to make religious icons. And it's an amazing thing. He said he went there for the first time when he was 19 years old. And when he was there, he discovered the beauty of these icons and the art, not only in Bethlehem, but also in Jerusalem. But he discovered that many of them were being mass-produced in China or Greece, but not locally. And so he wanted to come back. He said, this is where The first icon, the first image of God came in Bethlehem. And this is where they should be produced, because we get to copy the original. We get to copy the original here. Another theologian has described it this way: Bethlehem is where God gets a face. And that face is the face of Jesus. God taking on flesh and bones, coming to be like one of us. God having a face. Just be amazed. I was at some more sobering places this past week as well. I was in Annapolis, where we marked the annual event that remembers those who have lost their lives because of homelessness or poverty in the county. 26 people this year. It was a very sobering event, but it involved clergy leaders from the Muslim faith, from the Jewish faith, from the Christian faith, all coming together, and I really wanted to be there. It's my third year of going to this event. It's not an easy thing to squeeze into my schedule during the week before Christmas, but I've decided it's one of the most important places I can be. And I wanted to go because I wanted to be a face of support, because many of our winter relief guests are there at this memorial service. And I wanted them to know, by my small part in that service, by my greeting them and seeing them, that this is a God who has taken on flesh, that this is a God who is not out there, but the God that we love and we serve is our God in the middle of our strength and the God in the middle of our struggle. To just be amazed that a God loves us that much. I was also with our AA group on Wednesday. I was inviting them to come to this Christmas Eve service. I'm always humbled when I go and I hear the stories and the courage of people who are fighting their addictions, who are trying to put their lives back together with God's help, who are going through real struggles. And when I invited them, I used these very words. I said, "Come celebrate with us God who is Emmanuel, God with us, our God who is with us in our strength and in our struggle." Just be amazed that we have a God like that. And then there's this guy, Charles Foster. I learned about his story. I heard it on NPR a couple weeks ago. It was pretty fascinating. It's an amazing story. You might call him an eccentric. He has been everything from a veterinary surgeon to a lawyer, and he's been a fox, and he's been a deer, and he's been a badger. That was the part that caught my attention. I mean, literally, this guy goes out and lives like an animal, complete with eating worms and crawling on the ground and trying to live as closely as he can in the habitat and in the habits of those animals. And what he's trying to do is to find this bridge between this world, these other species, and our human lives. Now, that's a little bizarre, I think sort of amazing. But if you think that's amazing, how amazing is it to have a God who, in John's words, has taken on flesh, the one who has, the living word, has come to be one of us? Just be amazed. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. I bought myself an early Christmas present back in October. Thinking about these words of John, thinking about how the act of incarnation really is an act of translation. How do you translate the love of God into a world and into a way that we can understand it? God chose to do it through the person of Jesus. And this is a book of translations of things that are untranslatable easily from one language to another. They are some funny words like pizanzapra, the time needed to eat a banana. Who knew there was a word for that? There are these lovely decorations or illustrations. This is trepverta, a witty response or comeback that you think of only when it's too late. It literally means staircase words when you've walked out the door already. You've had that happen to you. Komorebi is a Japanese word that means the light that filters through the trees. We've all seen that light. I, as a photographer, love that light. Gazelig means a liquid hug. It means being together. Some of these words I found really were Christmas words, like commovere from Italian, to be moved in a heartwarming way, usually relating to a story that moves you to tears. And if the Christmas story does not move you to tears, I don't know what will. Just be amazed. Or Ubuntu, the South African word that my daughter first taught me years ago when she was studying abroad. And it means the sacredness in you honors the sacredness in me. I find my worth in you and you find your worth in me. That is the Christmas story. This is a Christmas-related one. The distance a reindeer can comfortably travel before taking a break is called Porin Kusima. Who knew? And the Ixtor Pak, this is an Inuit word up in the Eskimos. The act of repeatedly going outside and checking to see if someone's coming. Are you checking to see if someone's coming tonight? And all of us have been doing that, waiting for family and friends to get home. But here's the word I leave you with tonight. If you remember nothing else about anything I've said, remember this and just be amazed. Not that word, sorry. Here it is. Naz. Can you say that word? Naz? It means knowing that you are unconditionally loved. Naz. That's the wonder of Christmas, friends. That's the mystery of incarnation. That's the good news that we celebrate with this amazing brass and this choir and all of us singing and all of us being here. This God loves us unconditionally. Naz. Just be amazed.